Reverend Dr. David Breeden writes, "We gather into this circle. We gather into this circle of care to dream, to envision, to embody and achieve the compassion we dream, the justice we envision, the dignity of each in an ever-growing circle of justice and love." Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or at home, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link, which will give you lots of information about things going on at the church as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have lovingly staffed nursery care, we have the playground down front with a baby, and we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. Got some special announcements coming up, and staff are going to come help me with them. Sarah Lynn's going to talk about pride and kayaking. And while she's coming, let me say, speaking of pride, we don't have a slide for this, but this Thursday is the Out Metro West Trivia Night. We could still use some backups for that, or if you'd like to sign up on your own, you can reach out to Out Metro West. But if you'd like to be a backup for our team, see Carolyn. Thanks, Sarah Lynn.
Good morning. I just want to invite anyone who's interested to join me and some others on a kayak outing at Lake Kitchituate. We'll be meeting at the boat launch area, so you can, there's parking there, you can rent kayaks or canoes, and then at 10 o'clock on Saturday, May 18th. So we hope that you'll join us for that, but please let me know if you're coming, because we don't want to take off into the water if we're not expecting someone. So let me know. And then also today, can you spare a few minutes today after worship to help us put the Adirondack chairs out on our front porch? We want to be ready for Pride, and it is sunny and warm most days at this time of year, and people really enjoy using our chairs. So if you can help, see me. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. Next Sunday is going to be a special worship service in lots of ways. We are going to be celebrating Right 13. These are our young people who are coming of age. So both on site and online, you don't want to miss worship next week. And there's also going to be some other special things going on, and Randall's going to fill you in.
As I hope you know, we've been working hard on a new website, and we're the light is at the end of the tunnel. It's still a ways, but it's coming up. And an important part of that is going to be next Sunday when we have a photo day. And there'll be some professional photographers here to capture worship and things before and after, and some other things that we might just present for them. And so what we would like from you is, one, please come. You're part of this church, and we want that to be reflected in the photos that are taken. Two, we're going to ask for your flexible participation. Some things will probably be a little bit different just to make it work, and we'll need that. And then you may be asked or you may volunteer to do some things afterwards that we can capture some things down at coffee hour or around that. And there will be a photo-free zone for those who need it. I think that's the last thing I need to say. So please come, bring whoever you can, and let's have fun.
Thank you, Randall. Yay! So those who are available to be on site next week, we would appreciate you being here as part of that photo shoot. But right now, we are so glad to be gathered with those who are both on site and online as we prepare to come into a service of worship. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, your body, and your spirit, deepening your breath. relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who did such amazing things and said such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light. The light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning. My name is Doug. Continuing in my quest to model the non-red attire that we want next week. See, Cindy was wearing red, not me. Every other Sunday of the year, but not today, not next week. Let's get serious. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response will be, "This is the place where all are welcome." We really do mean it when we say, "Where all are welcome." But sometimes, to some people, it might not feel like
this is the place where all are welcome.
So how do we make sure that
this is the place where all are welcome?
Let's start by welcoming the presence of God. Our first hymn will be 367, "Break Not the Circle." Please rise in body or spirit and join us. Amen. Please be seated. Our centering prayer this morning is by Reverend Gretchen Haley. Her words invite us to feel the way in which we are connected. And so, wherever you are, with others or alone, as we begin in silence, stretch your senses to feel all that binds us together. Let us pray. For this one moment, know only that you are loved, that you are safe and whole and loved. Know that you belong here among us, here upon this earth, in your body, however tired or broken your heart may be, whatever fear, disappointment, anger you carry, for this hour, know that you are not alone. Feel the presence of others surrounding you, breathing beside you and with you, discovering together the way our voices rise and fall together in harmony, in hope. Claim here a resilient freedom, the choice for love, for light, to live in joy, in gratitude and praise as a form of resistance, as we saw demonstrated in the life and death and life again of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Giver of all life, whose presence is holy, may you come first in our hearts. May all creation become your community of peace in your desire to be fulfilled through the earth as it is in your own heart. Sustain us with the breath of life, moment by moment. Forgive us and give us the gift of forgiveness. Lead us past our temptations and save us from the power of the evil that would ensnare us. For all that is, and all power, and all glory come to you now and forever. Amen. It is said that human beings need connection just as much as they need food, water, even air. So our gathering together online and on site is a life-giving practice. It's not a luxury, it's a need. This morning, as we greet each other with God's peace, we are giving and receiving what we need to survive, connection to each other and to God. After which we will sing our song of celebration. And so let God's peace be with each of you. Thank you. So our lectionary reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, and also 21 through 26.
Traditionally, we say that Acts was written by a follower of Jesus named Luke, the same person who wrote the gospel text that bears his name. So this is Luke, the sequel. Acts picks up the story where the gospel of Luke leaves off. At the end of Luke, Jesus was killed and then somehow returned to his followers, where he ate with them and taught them and showed them the scars in his hands and feet. Then, Luke's version of the story says, Jesus ascended to heaven, literally was lifted up into the clouds to be with God. And then Jesus' followers kind of looked at each other, realized he was gone, and that it's up to them to figure out what to do next. So that's where this morning's scripture picks up the story. Doug will do the play-by-play, and I'll add the color. It starts with Peter, who kind of sees himself as the boss now that Jesus is gone, telling those gathered that they have a problem.
In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 people, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, through David, foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry."
So as you may remember, Jesus put 12 followers in roles of authority. He called 12 disciples, although clearly there's lots more than 12 around Jesus, men and women alike. And one of those 12 was a guy named Judas. Judas had betrayed Jesus and abandoned the group, and by the way, had recently died a gruesome death. Those are the verses left out in this morning's reading. But why is Peter focused on Judas at this point in the story?
We continue. So, one of the men who have accompanied us throughout the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection.
Okay, so apparently they must always have 12 disciples, and now they are one disciple short. Why they must always have 12 disciples isn't clear. I don't know if they got to make sure there's somebody in the outfield. At any rate, they need a new disciple. And while they did not have an understudy at the ready, they have a good pool of candidates. Peter says the criteria is someone who has been with Jesus the whole time, from the moment John baptized Jesus through Jesus' ascension. And apparently, there are a bunch of people who fit that description.
So they proposed two. Joseph called Barsabas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias.
So we got two candidates, Justus and Matthias. We're not sure if there was any kind of a campaign. We don't know if there were speeches or signs or lobbying for one candidate over another. But we do know that there was prayer.
Then the remaining 11 disciples prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And so they cast lots for them.
So again, notice, Peter is never missing an opportunity to take a dig at Judas. Everywhere he can, he does that. But you know, if I were Justus and Matthias, I would be just a little bit stressed out about this whole prayer plan. The disciples, Peter says, are asking God to look at my heart and judge whether or not I am fit to be a disciple. So if I lose the vote, what does that say about my heart? I'd start thinking about every mistake I ever made. But in addition to prayer, the passage says the disciples cast lots. Now, weirdly for historians, there is no agreement about what exactly it means to cast lots. Generally speaking, it was a random selection process, like flipping a coin or rolling dice or tossing stones, like the image that Sarah Lynn found. But we don't know exactly how they did it in that case. At any rate, they pray,
asking God to make God's will known through the coin flip or the roll of the die or whatever, which means it's time for the drum roll.
All right, good. I was thinking we needed Mark Justin, but that worked really well. Is he always there? Good. They cast lots for them, and the lot fell on, one more time, Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles.
Matthias wins! Everybody claps him on the back while justice sinks off into the crowd.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them and act them sometimes.
That would be good too.
Right.
Thank you, Doug. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. So this past week, I went to a training for 3 days. It's kind of like school for ministers. You go there to learn how to do some part of your job a little bit better. And it was hard work. We had to talk about something that was happening in the church where we work and how we handled it. And then everybody would tell us how we could have done better. That meant we had to be very brave and know that we were all just trying to help each other. No matter what somebody said, they were really just trying to help us. Now, doing such hard and brave work for 3 days was really very stressful. But you know what was even harder? Lunch. And breakfast and dinner. So you see, I'm new to this training group, and some people have been going there for years, like 25 years, some people have been going to this group. And they know exactly what happens, they know exactly how everything goes at every meeting, and they know each other. It seems like they have been friends for forever, and they all have these stories that they share. They'll be like, oh, remember the year Rob told us about the squirrels in the sanctuary? Ha ha ha, they all laugh. I have no idea who Rob is, and nobody fills me in about the squirrels in the sanctuary. So it was really hard. But back to lunch. We'd go to this long table and fill up our plates, and then we'd have to find a seat at smaller tables. I'd sit down, and everybody at the table would start talking about people that I've never met, and I would start to feel so weird. It was like I didn't know where to look. Like if I looked at them, I thought maybe I was being nosy, but if I didn't look at them, it looked like I didn't care. My hands suddenly seemed really big and sweaty. It's like I suddenly forgot how to use a fork in front of these people. I just felt so out of place and so unwelcome. But here's the thing, I know they were not doing it on purpose. They are just glad to see each other. They were caught up in seeing old friends, but even though they weren't doing it on purpose, I still felt left out and sad. It's just like the school cafeteria all over again. Little amen?
Amen.
Or choosing teams in gym? Or finding a partner for a class project? There are just so many times people can feel left out. Even church. Like during the passing of the peace when everybody is chatting with their friends while the new person stands alone, not knowing who to talk to. Or during coffee hour when you walk up to a little group to say hi and you feel like you're in the way. It is not easy to help people feel welcome. It means we have to pay close attention. And sometimes it means we have to give up time with our friends. Even have to make ourselves a little uncomfortable by talking to somebody we don't know. But practice makes it easier. And our lives will be so much richer because of the room we make for others. And then hopefully when we're the new person, somebody else will be doing the same for us. So as our young children get ready for godly play and connect places where they will, I believe, feel fully welcomed, let us send them with our blessing. Can I see those blessing hands? Welcoming God, bless these children in all their delightful difference. When they feel alone and left out, may your strong and comforting presence remind them of your love and ours. Help us work together to create a world where all your children feel wholly welcomed just as they are.
Amen. Our second reading this morning is called Mattering. It's based on the writing of an anonymous gay high school student and adapted by Mark Hicks. My father asked if I'm gay. I asked, "Does it matter?" He said, "No, not really." I said, "Yes." He said, "Get out of my life." I guess it mattered. My friend asked why I talk about race so much. I asked, "Does it matter?" He said, "No, not really." I told him, "It's been a barrier in so many ways." He said, "You need to get that chip off your shoulder." I guess it mattered. My neighbor asked why I put up that ramp to my front door. I said, "Does it matter?" He said, "No, not really." I told him because it made my life easier. He said, "Is there a way to make it a little less obvious?" I guess it mattered. A member of my church asked why I like gospel music. I asked, "Does it matter?" She said, "No, not really." I told her that it connects me to my Southern Christian childhood. She said, "I think you're in denial about your oppression." I guess it mattered. My God asked me, "Do you love yourself?" I said, "Does it matter?" She said, "Yes." I said, "How can I love myself? I'm gay, Latino, disabled, Christian." She said, "That is the way I made you. And that is all that matters. Amen." So first, I was feeling badly for Justice. How painful to be like disciple runner-up. And in like this such a public way, to be pulled out of the crowd of followers, lifted up as someone who might deserve to be a disciple, then having the divine roll of the die reject you. I imagine that Justice just wanted the earth to open up and swallow him. He didn't want to see the pitying glances, hear the consolation comments, or worse, see the new suspicion in his friend's eyes, wondering why God rejected him for the role. So what a contrast to Justice's years following Jesus, when he'd felt heard and seen and loved just as he was for the first time. And now Jesus was gone, and so was that sense of belonging. Like I said, reflecting on the scripture passage, first I felt bad for Justice. And you know, I don't really understand how saints work, but it seems to me that Justice should be the patron saint of anyone who feels left out, which is probably all of us at one time or another. And maybe especially he should be the patron saint of anyone who feels left out of religious community. Like the new person who settles into a pew for worship only to be told a few minutes later, "You're in my seat." Or the brave soul who dares to suggest a change to the Christmas fair and triggers a horrified chorus of, "We've never done it that way before." Although those are, of course, minor bruises compared to the deep wounds of those who've been left out because they're divorced or black or female or gay. So I feel bad for Justice the way I feel bad for anyone who's been excluded from the church. But then the more I thought about it, the more I wondered if I should really feel bad for the church. I was so focused on what Justice might have missed out on because he wasn't selected as a disciple, it took me a while to think about what the church missed out on without him in that role. Maybe Justice would have brought amazing conflict transformation skills to the work of the disciples and kept the followers of the way in relationship with Jewish tradition. And as a result, Christianity wouldn't have fostered so much anti-Semitism.
Maybe justice would have made sure everyone noticed how Jesus considered the women among his followers to be leaders too, and make sure their leadership was recognized by the disciples, which would have kept women in roles of authority from the beginning. Maybe justice would have pointed out to Jesus's followers that their anxiety in the face of Jesus's absence were making them a little extra judgy, and they should remember Jesus' whole bit about loving each other, which might mean that Christians in 2024 would be just a little less judgy. Maybe justice would have said that 12 was a kind of random number for disciples in the first place. Why not 13 or 30? But at any rate, let's at least include Matthias, since he'd been there from the beginning too, and Christianity would have begun from a place that keeps widening the circle to make sure all are included. Justice didn't get voted in as a disciple, though, and none of that happened. But just because we didn't get Justice's wisdom and insight as a disciple 2,000 years ago doesn't mean we can't be alert to it today. We, this church and churches in general, we emphasize welcome and inclusion. Every church describes itself as a welcoming church. And it is so important to us that we feel like everyone is fully embraced and affirmed in this place, because we know that if someone feels left out or excluded, how painful that can be, and we don't want anyone to feel that way, right? But sometimes we forget that when someone is left out or excluded from community, the community loses that richness of perspective and experience and insight, that particular manifestation of the image of God. Religions that see other faiths as competition or the enemy miss out on how a different religious tradition helps us understand our own faith in a new and deeper way. For years, we talked about the negative impact of segregated schools on children of color, but now we know that living in mostly white communities is a flat and limiting experience for white people. The tireless advocacy of the disabled community hugely benefits those of us who are temporarily abled. We don't want to keep missing the vitality and vision the justices of today can bring to our lives and to our spiritual community. But the truth is, it takes effort and intention to see who is missing and to truly create space for their experience and perspective. In case you're wondering, we don't have a lot of evidence about what actually happened to Justice after he didn't get voted in as a disciple. Christian tradition says he continued to be an involved member of the early Christian community and eventually became a bishop of a small region. It is said that he was seen as an inspiration for his resilience in his faith, even after being rejected as a disciple. Okay, cool. But how about instead of lauding someone for hanging in there after they've been rejected, churches just skip the rejecting part in the first place and spend that energy instead on paying attention to who has been left out? And beloved, even with the best of intentions, there is always someone who's been left out. For the times when you have been the one left out, on behalf of the Christian church and her people, I am sorry, and we will do better. So let's all look for who is missing, listen for whose voice is silent, feel for the invisible obstacles we've constructed. And then, in the name of Saint Justice, let's vote everybody in. Amen. Thank you. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Bob. Fabulous. Huge thanks to Chef Bob for putting together last night's lasagna dinner that raised $950 for West Virginia Work Camp. And I heard that there were people from multiple states, work campers from different towns and states who were participating, who came together. What an awesome opportunity to be together, and what a great energy to have in that kitchen, too. Thanks, Bob. What other joys do you bring to this place today? Pam. Pam is lifting up the marathon trip she and her wife took to Germany, where they visited family and friends that they've known for decades. Now they need a nap, but we're so glad that you had such a rich trip and that you are home. Thanks, Pam. Other joys. Doug. Doug is lifting up the joy for all of those who mother in countless ways, and we do, and those who have mothered to us and those we mother, and also for those for whom this is a hard day for any reason, we hold them in prayer as well. Heather. Wait. Okay. Grace. So when is Grace's birthday? Oh, you said May 9th. Oh, so good. You're all doing very well. Okay, so next Sunday, you come do this. So happy birthday to Grace, who turned an age this month. We celebrate her advent in the world and that you get to be her mom, Heather. Pam. Pam is thanking the community for the Get Well card that we sent to her while we've been thinking of her in recovery. I'm hoping Lorraine is watching today as she continues to recover and has plans for Mother's Day today. We send you both our love. Did I, Natasha? Who made it? We don't know who made it? Oh, now we're gonna have to find out. Oh, Mark made it? Shut up. So we sent a meal to Natasha and Tim et al. And I had heard Zoe never met a casserole she didn't like, but Maya had two helpings, which is huge. That is fabulous. And Mark made it. All right, who wants to have a baby so we can all get... Declan. Declan, this is your birthday last summer?
Yes.
Okay, Declan went to the animal farm for his birthday last summer and got to see, let's do it together, a cute bunny. Yes. That means you have another birthday coming up. Declan named the bunny Snowball, and we are going to hear more about this afterwards. Make sure you find me so I can hear more about this afterwards. Do you promise?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other joys that I missed out there? Kirsten? So Lane and other gentlemen in the congregation are hosting coffee hour today, which includes a chocolate fountain, which I think some moms are like, how is that a gift to, to us? But we are still totally delighted that Lane is providing liquid chocolate to everyone in person today. Thanks, Kirsten. I feel like I missed one. Okay. Oh, right, Gail. No, okay, thank you, Gail. What concerns do you bring to this?
Oh, hi. Look, I'm up here. Can I just say happy birthday to Michelle? That's a joy.
Michelle, happy birthday.
And, of course, it's always nice to see Abby back after a couple of weeks.
It is so good. So, for those of you at home, Abby, one of our young beloveds, had surgery on both legs. But today she is in our midst, and it is so good to see her. And we continue to hold her parents in prayer as she recovers. And happy birthday to you, Michelle. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Randy. Randall is lifting up his and Dee Dee's friend Tony, who has been on the prayer list because of a brain tumor. He died this past week. May his memory be a blessing. Thanks, Randall. Other concerns? Gail, do you have any concerns? Our pastoral prayer this morning is by Reverend Lynn Cox. Let's be together in prayer. Spirit of life, who draws us together in a web of holy relationships, make your presence known with us and in us and among us. Remind us that we are not alone in history. Ignite us with the courage of the living tradition. Remind us that we are not alone in entering the future. Anchor us with patience and perseverance. Remind us that we are not alone in our times of grief and pain. Comfort us with your spirit, manifest in human hands and voices. Remind us that we are not alone in joy and wonder. Inspire us to honor, extend the beauty we find in this world. Divine music of the universe, let our hearts beat in diverse and harmonious rhythms, cooperating with an everlasting dance of love. May we move with the rhythms of peace. May we move with the rhythms of compassion. May we move with the rhythms of justice. So be it. Blessed be. Amen. In the offering invitation today, I want to celebrate the most uplifting aspect of our life at FCC Natick. That is, of course, the elevator. These days, we're used to elevators in public buildings thanks to the American Disabilities Act, but churches can declare themselves exempt from the ADA, so mere law isn't enough to convince a church to install an elevator. Having an elevator is an act of justice, an outward and visible sign of our commitment to equity and inclusion, so people can access this and other sacred spaces with dignity and agency. By the way, that's also why I stand at this door after worship. Both entrances to the sanctuary have stairs to the vestry and outside, but only this one is fully accessible. Our elevator was installed in 2001, but that was hardly the last time we invested financial resources in it. Annual maintenance on the elevator starts at around $3,000 a year, and most years there are also repairs, like this year's bill so far of $1,120 to repair the emergency phone in the elevator required by regulations. So every contribution you make to FCC Natick supports this commitment to access and inclusion. And as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, thank you for this uplifting opportunity. God of abundance, bless these gifts and help us use them to open the doors of the world. Amen. Let's join together in our closing hymn, which I think is "Won't You Let Me Be Your Servant?"
Thank you.
Our benediction is from the amazing John O'Donohue, Called for Belonging. May you listen for your longing to be free. May the frames of your belonging be generous enough for your dreams. May you arise each day with a voice of blessing whispering in your heart. May you find a harmony between your soul and your life. May the sanctuary of your soul never become haunted. May you know the eternal longing that lives at the heart of time. May there be kindness in your gaze when you look within. May you never place walls between the light and yourself. May you allow the wild beauty of the invisible world to gather you, mind you, and embrace you in belonging. Go in peace. Amen.